live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, an inspiring today word that will help you battle through today's challenges. Listen and enjoy this exciting message and let the presence of the Lord work through you to reach the world for Jesus Christ. True love, pure worship, real answers.
We're going to be talking about praise and worship today, and just the understanding of praise and worship. And periodically, pastors ask that we come back and revisit this because we have new people who are at it. And it's always a good thing to go over what it is you actually see taking place in our services so you know we're not crazy. It's coming straight from the scripture, and it is for our spiritual well-being. Amen. So we're going to share some things with you that we've shared before, but it's always good to come back to it. As I was getting ready to bring a word and trying to get prepared, I started getting some things together on preparation. God was starting to deal with me about being prepared for your moment. But then, sure enough, on yesterday, he switched up on me and said, "Nah, I want you to deal with praise and worship." And I believe it's some in getting prepared for what's going to happen next week, but also what's going to happen into our future so that we're more able and ready to receive what God wants to do through our times of worshiping together. Amen. In our corporate worship setting like this. So I asked the praise team to stick around because we're going to go through some word and we're going to go through some teaching. This is going to be kind of teaching, preaching, and actually some demonstration. And so the praise team is here because there's some things we're going to go into to actually show you. Our songs have different types. There's different types of purposes or functions for our songs. So we're going to do that. Were we able to get the PowerPoint or not? All right, let her rip. Father God, we just thank you for today, and we ask that you would have your way in this place. Do what only you can do. We appreciate you, and we yield to you, Father God. Speak to our hearts. I ask that we would hear the teaching. And some of us come wanting to be inspired. I ask that even those wanting to be inspired would be inspired, Father God. Even though this is not a preaching type of message, speak to them. And Father God, I just thank you that you will have your way and we will embrace it and go forward in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Oh, wow, that was astonishing. Okay, it's loud. Hallelujah, praise God. So like Otis was just saying, we're going to just speak on praise and worship because we want to have a deeper understanding so that as a congregation, as family, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, we can access things in the heavenlies when we all have a good understanding of the function of praise and worship. So we want to talk about praise. What is praise? We use the word praise and worship, and a lot of times we think that those two words mean the same thing. It's kind of like what we do with tithes and offerings. We kind of use those words interchangeably. Well, there's the tithe and there's the offering, and they are different. One is an obligation and the other is an overflow of your heart in showing appreciation. Well, with praise is, the definition of praise is to commend, to applaud, to celebrate, and to express approval or admiration. And it's up there so you can write it down if you like. To extol in words or songs, to magnify, to glorify. And I want to read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And this scripture is telling us, you know what, when you were unsaved, when you didn't know God, you were out doing anything you wanted to. You were a nameless people. You were a familyless people. You were a people that had no God, that had no Lord. But now, You say, we say that God is our Father, God is our King, we are a part of the family of God. And so now, because we have that, because we have decided that this is who we are and who we want to be and how we want to live, we must praise, because we are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are God's special possession. In some translations, it says that we are God's special people. We are his special people, and because we're special, we got to go around telling people how awesome our God is. It's not because I'm a special girl in myself. I'm special because I have been chosen by the Father.
Yes, sir.
You are special because you have been chosen by the Father. How awesome is that? It's just excellent. It's excellent. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So we must commend him. We must praise him. We must talk about him in here and out in our daily lives. That's what we got to do. We're Bethelites. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Let's praise our God.
Also, let me jump in real quick, babe. This is going to be kind of funny. We have our slides marked. Who has which slide?
Yeah.
But when we were preparing,
he's breaking the rule already.
When we were preparing, I said, "Now, understand, if you have something you want to elaborate on, you can jump in, so that I could jump in too."
But I wouldn't do that.
No, seriously. But one thing I just want to pull off of this page is the fact that it says approval and admiration, and when you admire something, that thing recognizing you're admiring it continues to produce it.
Yeah. Yes.
And to puff, it's like, oh, you like that. And so what I'm saying is, yes, we are now a new people. We serve a living God, but when he's made some promises to us, and so when we affirm or we give approval, it's almost like when I'm offering Ivy and I say, like, let's say I really have somewhere I want to go to eat for dinner. Okay? But I don't know if she's going to want to go there or not. This is just how it goes in my family. But I know she has certain places she likes to go. So I might say the place I know she usually likes to go. So maybe she wants to go to Texas Roadhouse. I say, babe, you want me to take you to Texas Roadhouse?
Yes.
Now, in my mind, I might want to go to Mexican, right?
Yes.
But she'll say, well, I don't really care where we go. It's like she's not really given approval to go on to Texas Roadhouse. It's not like it's a burning desire. It's not like she has much agreement with it. So in my mind, what I say is, heck, if me taking you where you want to go still isn't going to really hit your button, if it's not going to hit your spot, I'm going to go where I want to go, right? Well, I kind of see it the same way. God has some promises for us. He has some things that he said, and he says, I will be strong for you, or I have healing for you. And when you don't give him the approval for what he has set up, it's kind of like, okay, that's the thing you leave on the table. So that's how worship, that's how praise is. When you praise God, he will come in and inhabit the praises of his people. He'll show up in that same measure that you praise him. Okay, anyway.
Amen.
That was brief, right?
That was pretty good. that was commendable.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so let's talk about worship. What is worship? We said that worship is different from praise, and we said that praise is different than worship. Worship is directly communicating with God. Worship means to express a profound love and admiration. That's what worship is. When we talk directly to God and we say to him, I sing because you are good, I dance because you are good, you're good to me, we're worshiping him. It doesn't matter how, if we do that with a fast song or if we do it with a slow song, we're talking directly to him. If we say to him, there's no place I'd rather be than hearing your love, God loves to hear that. I think that's why he wanted us to sing that today. He wanted to know if that's the way we feel. He wants to know that. That's the reason why that song just kind of bubbled up today. Ooh, I'm getting ahead. I'm going back. So worship is talking directly to God, saying to him what he wants to hear from us. Not because God is needy. He He's not needy. In the church I grew up in, we had a deacon. He would stand up and he'd say, "Look, I'm gonna tell you what, God is God all by himself." He would say that all the time. And you know, and as I was one of the little kids, and so we sat on the front row, and so we would wait for Deacon Tommy to stand up and say that so we could laugh every week. But no, we did. Look, I was only 8. It's okay. But as I grew up, I waited because I knew what he meant. I had a rhema of that. I was like, yeah, God is God all by himself. He don't really need me to do anything. He can take care of all of it. And because I know who he is and I've watched him do that in my life, I can say that as just a point of love to him. You are God all by yourself, and I know exactly what that means, and I'm going to just step out of the way and let you do your thing. Let him show himself strong for you. And so worship is just saying what your heart, how your heart feels about God and saying it directly to him. Now worship takes place on a deeper level. It takes place on a deeper level. Worship is something that happens between the worshiper, the congregant, that's us, the Bethelites, and when we say directly to him, there's a deeper feeling to that. Someone who's kind of just visiting the church, and if they have no knowledge of God at all, sometimes we may kind of lose those people in the worship part because it can be romantic in nature. It can be it's very intimate. And so sometimes for the new person, this part can feel just a little uncomfortable, but that's okay. That's okay because it's really not so much about them. Once that worship starts to happen, once we are all at a group just telling him how much we love him, how much we appreciate him, what usually happens, and we stand up here and we see it happen every week, so cool, but what usually happens is that person, they'll just start to sing and just start to participate because one, they see everybody else doing it, and generally we all just kind of go with the flow as people, and also they just kind of get enraptured in it as well because it's a good feeling to tell God that you love him. It's a good feeling to tell him that you put him first. It gives peace to your soul and peace to your mind. And he likes that. He enjoys it.
Amen. Oh, okay. You got on my slide a little bit. All right. We're going to go to the next slide here. What is praise and worship music? Okay. So we talked about praise and worship. But what about the music? I want to get into that a little bit. And if we'll turn to Colossians 3, I'm going to be in verse 16 through 17. Say amen when you're there. Some of you are like, buddy, just go on. I don't have my Bible today. We're going to hit that. I like to give people time because I used to rush through this. In 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. In 17, it goes on, it says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Giving thanks. You know, this is a good scripture. We've read it over and over, and the Lord started highlighting some things. And actually, I want to bring out, there's a little, in my Bible, it has little notes. And this here is one of the kingdom dynamics I was reading through, little side note they tell you about the scripture you just read. And I liked it, so I want to share a little bit with you. It's not on the slide, but I'll elaborate here. Let's just deal with the scripture before I go too far. When it says psalms, hymns, and spiritual psalms, some of you may be like, well, what's the difference? It all sounds like music. All right, but there really are differences. If you ever hear us teach about prophecy, even prophecy, and we'll talk about 5 channels of prophecy because some of the things you see going on, there are actually different levels and applications. And that's what this is kind of dealing with, is in the music that is done in the house of the Lord, you can encounter these 3. So psalms, Those are songs that are scripture. Okay, so it's just straight out of the scripture. And we've done this in some of our rehearsals, haven't we? We just start singing from the scripture, you know? And it's just, there's a melody playing. It could be whatever. And actually, it's funny, as Sister Linda, when you were reading that scripture, Psalms 91, I was starting to think of, Fred Hammond's song. Yeah, singing in the mic. Of the Most High.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Yeah. Yes. And it's straight up out of the scripture, okay? But then you have hymns that we sing. Those are songs for men or women, mankind, songs about God. They teach a principle, okay? So a lot of times there's a communication that's taking place, and it can be something. I don't know if you remember in old scripture, Ezra had to do a lot of teaching of the younger folks because they didn't understand the word. He had to do a lot of teaching and translating some of the history. And sometimes you can do that through hymns, and they did through hymns. We still sing them today, and we get moved so strongly because not only did they package the anointing, but they packaged a culture. They packaged the culture in them that reminds us of the bare bones, our foundation. Okay? And so those are hymns. So it's saying you could do these. But also this one where it says spiritual songs, I was looking in here, and this is where I want to read from this little kingdom dynamic because I like what it said about spiritual songs. And hopefully I'll get this word right. It says the Greek odais pneumatikais, something like that.
It's Greek.
Yeah, it's Greek. You have to memorize that. No, I'm teasing. I was practicing that trying to say it. But anyway, it says reveals the Holy Spirit as a composer. Spiritual song. Reveals the Holy Spirit as a composer, ready to enable and expand the song of the Lord through believers now and then. Interesting is the thought that this song is participating in heaven's song by the Spirit's enablement. Participating in heaven's, oh my goodness. I don't know about you guys, but I get excited. And it says, a song described as a sound or voice of many waters. It talks about Revelation 14:2 and 19:6. And then it says, joined to Jesus's description of the rivers of living water in John 7:38, springing from within those who believe in him. It appears that spiritual songs may be one of those rivers springing with praise from the inner being of the worshiping believer. Not just the believer, but the worshiping believer. Amen. So spiritual songs, those happen here. We do all of these things here. But in those times when we don't know what's going to break loose and you might think it was rehearsed, we're going through a song and maybe Brother Jim or somebody else on the praise team, Sister Jessica or Joanne or whoever's up here, Courtney. We've had it pass through different ones. But it's not, we didn't plan it. We didn't plan it. A matter of fact, one time I remember Saber came up. And, Saber. Yeah. She came up and shared a song. And the thing is, that was in the spirit. It was a spiritual song. It was inspired. And it said now and then. And it's true. Sometimes it comes on you. Amen. And so that's what we want to keep in mind. When we are in our services doing what we do, we are pleasing the Father. And it's straight out of scripture. We're doing the things that he wants. So now, moving on to these bullet points. And we'll touch on these here. So it says praise and worship music is functional. It means that it has a direct purpose to minister to the heart of God, to minister to the heart of God. Now, I put off to the aside, and I said, as well as those present or believers. So understand, when you are singing, dancing, playing the drums, whatever it is you're doing, and it's in that facet of praise and worship, you are ministering to the heart of God. Amen? But not only that, you are also speaking to the rest of the people in the congregation. You have a vital part to play in that. It's not just us performing praise and worship music. We are performing praise and worship music for the Father. Amen? It doesn't matter if you have an instrument that can, speak or that can make sound that you can understand as far as with our language, or if it's just the drums or the guitar striking the instrument. Those things speak to the heart of God. Amen? Also here it says the music serves as a dialogue. And that's good. I already covered that. Serves as a dialogue with the Father. God wants to communicate with us, and he will give us things back. So as we say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you now. You might not hear it, but inside he says, Son, I love you too. That's what I hear anyway. Okay. He starts speaking back to me and says, Son, that feels good. You know, now you're getting to a place where I can talk to you. So it's a relationship. Amen. We need to have that dialogue going back and forth. Now, to move this forward, I want to touch on this praise and worship dialogue. And I want to set you up real quick. You see over here where it says, does it say it? Oh, it says body realm. Then some of it's cut off. Okay. So anyway, you have body realm. And I want to tell you, what I'm about to teach you, it's kind of changed a little bit. There's a merging of the songs, but these realms are consistent. So when I say body realm, in the kingdom, or when you look back at the, back in the old days, and there was the tabernacle, you had the outer courts, you had the inner courts, and you had the most holy place. And it's, if you could think about it, it's almost like a funnel, with the most holy place being the most narrow of the funnel, okay? So if you see the funnel and at the top here, that's outer court. More people can abide in that area because there's less requirements, okay? And so what I mean about that is, and that's what I actually refer to as the body realm. All of Israel could gather out there and they would do their sacrifices outside, but they would be the ones bringing their lamb. And they're on the outer courts, and they would have to do a little handoff. All of Israel would come together, because once a year there was going to be the atoning of their sin, and the people had to go, ultimately the high priest had to go into the most holy. But out here, everybody could collect. Even if you were a sinner, you could get into our body realm praise, okay? Because most of the time it has a funky beat. Hey, Bill. Can you give me a beat that you just think is funky? Any beat you want, just funky. Now, if the children were still in here, even a little baby, that little baby's gonna start. Right? I wanna move right now with that. Oh, sorry. I'm acting up. But seriously, listen to that. I don't care if you know Jesus or not. If you come into this church and you hear that, your body's going to start move. Somebody might see you dancing and say, oh, they must be saved. I don't know that. Because right now, I'm getting you in the outer courts. I'm affecting your body. And God put it in your DNA to respond to a cadence like this. All right? I'm taking too long, aren't I? Okay, thank you, Bill. Anyway, so in the body realm, we're going to sing songs about God. And we're going to sing songs. Those songs that we sing about God, they are horizontal. So I can say, for the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. For the Lord, right? I can do that. On the flip side, that's all horizontal. Like I said, that's to your neighbor. You can encourage somebody. But when you go to the soul realm, which is one more step in, you're going into the kingdom, into the holy place, and there were some incense that were being that were lit. And, you know, there was lampstands. And in the soul realm, you're dealing more with a correction or an alignment with your mind. Just like the tabernacle is broken into three parts, man is broken into three parts. You've got your body, which I told you, that funky beat could get your body going. You don't, okay. But then when you go to your mind, that's the soul. And it's here that you have to say, you have to will yourself to do what the Spirit wants you to do. The body might not want to move, but your mind, your soul, starts to will. And these are songs where you start to align yourself with the promises and the things God has said.
For example, there is a river.
We want to do one?
Stream. Yeah, let's do one. We're going to do a body realm, and we're going to do a soul realm. You want to lay out what Spirit is before you sit down?
Yes. And then, is this still good for them? And then for the spirit realm is, oh, and one thing about the soul realm before I move on. Soul realm, you still could speak to your neighbor, but you're moving from horizontal to vertical. So some of it is more so you're speaking to yourself.
Yeah. Making a
decision. You're saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. I'm not singing to God. I'm singing to myself. But I am saying, you will do this, Otis Crochran. Yeah. I'm telling myself, I'm going to align with the will of God. And that's your soul getting in check. That's why we call that soul realm. Now, spirit realm, you can't fake me there. Okay? Well, actually, it's harder to fake man in that area, but you definitely won't get past God. If you don't have a true relationship and you try to worship God, it's going to be weak. It's going to fall to the ground because you got to have a relationship with him to worship him. And now we're totally vertical in spiritual realm worship. In spiritual realm, you're totally vertical because you're speaking to him directly. And it's then that you're singing songs that will say, I worship you, almighty God, right? We're going to give an example of these things. Now, I do want to jump in real quick. This has changed a little bit, and Ivy said something earlier that was very significant. Usually, back 15 years ago, when you were writing a lineup for praise and worship, if it was body realm, it was fast, and it absolutely never had a vertical piece. Now these days, it's a little bit difficult. It's a little different in the fact that it might be fast and driving and get your body into it, but at the same time, you're talking directly to God. So it's switched. It used to be that there was a progression. The song would go from fast to a little bit slower because you're thinking a little more about yourself. And now it's like you're even slower and you're focusing solely on God. But we've kind of changed things up over the years.
Mm-hmm. And I think that there has been a change in that because of our times. The world that we live in dictates that. Our praise and worship has become more intense. Our praise and worship has become deeper because the strains and the stressors of our daily lives cause us to go deeper in God. And so we kind of, in terms of music, just plain old musicality, these rules are, they're broken. They're all different now. So let's try, we're going to do a body realm song. Let's do You Are Good. And oh, feel free to sing with us. Because again, we're all performing for God. Okay?
And this is an example, though, of the new version, because we just said it's a body realm song. That's the type of song that gets you moving. And it's one you can usually speak to your neighbor. It's horizontal, but at the same time, we're telling God, you are good. So actually, it's a mix of the two, okay?
I have to commend the praise team because we just kind of sprung this on them this morning. So we're just like being spontaneous all over the place. And look, instant in season and out, they are.
Yep.
That's so great. So let's do it.
All right,
body
so
realm.
This is body realm. One, two, three,
to scream it out from every mountaintop. Your goodness knows no bounds. Your goodness never.
Come on, it makes you want to move.
You are good, my strength, because you are good. You are good.
All right, so, and you see, all through that, I mean, you just, when you hear that beat moving, I don't know about you, look at little man, see, look at him.
That's right, baby. Look, you're a prime example, sure. Yeah. He's just swaying.
It just gets you to go, gets you going. All right, so, what? Pick another.
For a soul realm, there's a river, I will rejoice.
Yeah, that's good.
This is an example of a soul realm song, and you can still kind of sing this to your neighbor, but it's like the shift is no longer this way. It's ticking up just a little bit. You're telling yourself, you're making a decision. You're saying, I'm going to rejoice and be glad no matter what.
And also understand, normally the lights are down.
Yes.
So, because we're assuming you're going to get into the most holy place, and we want you focusing on God and not looking left and right.
We'll be stuck. Look, because y'all was like, yeah. You see how there's just something about it. It just makes your heart. It's easier to make that decision to trust in Jesus. It's easier to make that decision. A good song helps that, but also us just deciding, look, no matter what, sunrise, sunset, I am going to praise you, God. I'm going to praise you, God.
Your love has ravished my heart.
Now we're in the spirit realm.
And taking me over, taking me over. And all I want is to be with you forever.
Too. We're trying not to get stuck, because we do want to finish the lesson. We want to finish.
Cool. And we'll bring you guys back in just a moment. Okay, so understand, as we were singing that, even that last song, I want to know your heart, right? I want to know your heart. It's in the spirit realm most of the time that we will just start going off the road. Or we like to refer to it as off-roading. It's because he might throw in a song we didn't plan to do. Today he threw in a song we didn't plan to do.
Yeah, they didn't even know it. But yeah. they pulled it together pretty quick, right?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
pretty good. That's now just a little side note. Look, I'm interjecting on your slide. Look
okay.
at me.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a little side note here, that in the Psalms it says to play skillfully with a loud noise. So there are a lot of people. And a lot of churches, and they develop doctrines on this that, if you're a good musician, it's because God just rained it down on you and you didn't have to practice and you don't have to know music theory. That's just not true. The word is clear. It says play skillfully with a loud noise. That means that these guys, they can play in C, G, B, D, F, B flat. They can play in all these keys. These folks, wonderful people, can sing in harmony. Like today, I just pulled a song out of the heavenlies, and they listened to it a few times, and because they've rehearsed their skill, their talent, because they've built upon their talent, they were able to build harmonies like that. We went through that song two times, and y'all rocked out harmonies on it, on a song you ain't never heard before. So playing skillfully with a loud noise, that's Amen. What we do.
Amen. And also, don't think that negates all of us, because we're the praise team to assist all of us in worshiping,
yeah,
amen?
Yeah.
And you all have skills, and trust me, God wants to hear your voice.
Yeah.
If your strand of worship is not present, the strand, the whole rope is not as strong as it should be.
Yes.
It's not going to be as pleasing even to the Lord. He can hear your voice even though millions and millions all across the world on Sunday morning are singing. He can hear.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, listen to Paul today.
Yes, that's right.
He hears it.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And not only that, he wants to draw near it. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so this next slide talks about corporate praise and worship. That's what we do. Now understand the concepts we've talked about up to this point. You could do that at home as well. Okay? You can do it all by yourself in your throne room, just with the Lord. I mean, your prayer room, and just give your time to God. But now when we come in here corporately to do this, we really want God to manifest his presence so that he will know we are prepared for you as a unit. We are one. And let's look at Second Chronicles 5. Okay, that's fine. Thanks.
2 Chronicles 5, and I'm going to start at verse 11. The priests then withdrew from the holy place. All the priests who were there had consecrated themselves, regardless of their divisions. All the Levites who were musicians, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and their sons and relatives stood on the east side of the altar, dressed in fine linen and playing cymbals, harps, and lyres. They were accompanied by 120 priests sounding trumpets. The trumpeters and musicians joined in unison to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, the singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, "He is good, his love endures forever." Then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God.
Yes. That's a good scripture to get into and really break down and see all the steps. These bullets that I have, we're trying to do that. First thing that you must do, if we're going to be successful and really touch God, our desire is not to play church, but to come together, touch God's heart so he can speak to us and manifest himself in us. Amen? And do the work that he wants to do. But notice it said that they sanctified themselves. We must sanctify ourselves. I like the fact, and as I was hearing Ivy read that, and I thought about it again, you know, it had a lot of titles in there. The Levites, the priests, you know, trumpeters. And you, sometimes, and I don't want to jump too far ahead of myself, but in spite of all the titles, they just came together as worshipers. Amen? They sanctified themselves. They prepare you. Listen, that's a will. I mean, you have to, that's something you have to will yourself to do. I am going to wash myself up today, and I'm going to set my mind right to do what God wants to do. Amen. That's one thing we must do. Or else we will keep coming. We'll come in and we'll still have our divisions. The next bullet says, not allowing our differences to divide us. You know, You know, listen, I hate it when politics is in the church. I could care less if you're Democrat, Republican. I want you to choose God. However you do things, choose God. Right? So maybe you're black, maybe you're white, maybe you're rich, maybe you're poor, got a big house, got a small house, have children, don't have children, whatever it is, none of that should come into play when we are coming before a living God who just wants to hear us love on him. He just wants your voice and your heart. Leave that other stuff out. Amen? They came out together, having sanctified themselves, and it talked about them not being to their own divisions. Next bullet, regardless of the duties in the body, I like this, regardless of their duties in the bodies, not just their titles, their duties, we must operate as one. So for a moment, you know, it's like I've been places where the pastor felt, I'm going to let my congregation worship, and when they're ready for me to preach, I'm going to come out from the back room. Why is that okay? Is that okay for the rest of the church? Is it only okay because you're the pastor? Your duties should have nothing to do with it. And I love the fact that Pastor Rob, he likes to worship. He loves to worship. I love that. My goodness, and I'm going to admit something to you, and I don't want to sound weird. The other night we were rehearsing, and by the way, did you guys hear Randy singing?
That was so anointed.
That was awesome. And I was going to tell him this the other day, and I didn't, but this is going to sound weird to you, but as we were rehearsing that song, and Randy sang, and he didn't waver at all, he didn't step away from it, he didn't try to get away from it. But as he sang that song, I was overtaken and started crying. They don't know that. They know it now. But I had it all under control because I'm sitting at the table, at the keyboard. And I was overtaken, and I was like, what's wrong with you? Why are you crying? And the purity and the integrity of it spoke to me so much, it made me weep. And I'm starting to get there now. But what God spoke to me was, and what I think I spoke back to God, is it's pleasing for me to see a man strong in his character, love God, and not be afraid to sing to him. Now, I know many of us like to sing, and there's other people in here who should be singing too, Brother Randy. But no. But a lot of times, sometimes we treat singing as if it's a woman's job. Right. Worshiping, that's a woman's job. As if it's less masculine. And I'm going to tell you, David slayed lions, bears, giants. He was a warring man. He couldn't even build the temple, which we'll get to later if I don't take too long. He couldn't even build the temple because there was too much blood on his hands. But he sang and worshiped God like nobody's business. I think he was so victorious because he was a worshiper. My goodness, he was a worshiper. So anyway, I share that just so to tell you, regardless of what our jobs are, if I'm a pastor, if I'm a praise team leader, if I'm a greeter, whatever, if I'm in the children's church, we all just come together and we worship God like we're crazy because he's a good God. And that's what draws him to us. Amen? Okay. I better move this along, right? Okay. Anyway, also understand here, it had those who were singing, they would speak, they would sound the trumpet, and they had to do it all on one accord. Not a diversion in their sound, but a singleness. The same type that got God's ear when they were trying to build the tower of Babel. God said, whoa, wait a minute. They are too unified on the negative side of things. And he had to come in and destroy it. Because even there, that principle still stands. If you get too unified and come as one voice, something will happen in the universe. Amen? This next bullet here, I'm going to jump to. It says, see his glory come in. The anointed will not need to minister. Now, that's what happened here. As they stood at the east end of the altar, they were all on one accord. They were single in vision. They sounded as one. They were worshiping God. They had already sanctified themselves. And how could God not come in? You did the right preparation. Amen. And he came in, not just God, but his glory and all with him to do a mighty work. And the ministers could not minister. Amen. And we've had some experiences like that here. It's scriptural. God wants us to experience that. He can do it. Will you turn to 1 Chronicles 25? We got a couple more examples we're going to do. We're going to get into some warring songs here. But praise and worship is a weapon. It's a weapon if you're at home. It's a weapon if you're the church. At the church, okay? If you don't understand this, right now, there is a spiritual realm that we don't see. God talks about things being in the invisible before you ever see them in the visible. Well, right now, we look like we got a lot of air here, a lot of open space. If you were to see, if God was able to pull back and allow you to see into the spirit, you might see some warring going on right up in here. Right now, even some of your minds saying, don't you go up front for prayer. I told you stay here. And that devil's trying to mess with you, and that angel assigned to you is kicking his tail. Amen? And keeping things back. That's right. When we start to worship and to praise God, we start to shift the environment. Because God has given us the authority to do it. There's a two-edged sword in your mouth, and you can decide how you're going to use it. When you praise him, the enemy is pushed back. Amen?
Amen.
You want to read it?
Yeah. 1 Chronicles chapter 25, I'm going to start at verse 1, and then I'm going to skip to 6 and 7. Moreover, David and the captains of the army separated for the service some of the sons of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps, stringed instruments, and cymbals. And the number of the skilled men performing their service was, and then they list all the skilled men. Jumping down to verse 6, all these were under the direction of their father for the music in the house of the Lord, with cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps for the service of the house of God. Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman were under the authority of the king. So the number of them with their brethren who were instructed in the songs of the Lord, all who were skillful, was 288.
Wow. Wow. So check it out. It said David and the powder puff team was assembled. Right? Oh, okay. Not the powder puff team. Okay. David, and did it say captains of the army? Okay. So there you've got David is assembled. I'm talking about praise and worship being a weapon. He brought together the military, and he gave them jobs to do, and it talked about stringed instruments, harps. This is not something you play with. We pass out, and don't get me wrong, I think we should have the right weapons when we're going into battle. You know, passing out M16s, that's great. But what would you do if your sergeant, I wasn't in the military, so forgive me. I don't know who the next person is up. But what would you do if the man in command over you said, listen, here's your songbook. Be careful out there. But guess what? David was getting prepared. They were skillful and they were ready. They were the army and they had certain jobs to do that was around the music ministry. Go ahead.
Do you want me to read 2 Chronicles 20?
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay, so this is 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 21 through 22. And we're talking about praise and worship as a tool of spiritual warfare. 2 Chronicles 20. Verses 21 and 22. And it says, And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated.
Amen. So we know this story about Jehoshaphat. If you go to the beginning of that chapter, it talks about great armies coming against him. I believe there was three of them. And they didn't know what to do. The whole nation went on a fast. It says cattle, everything, man, woman, child, everybody went on a fast, sought God's face, and God told them to stand still, see the deliverance of the Lord. This is my battle, not yours. And then it talks about them going out. The singers, the worship team went out in front of the army, and when they began to sing, God did something. See, when they began to sing, God did something. You do, God do. Does. I did go to school. You do something and God does something. So as you start to sing and praise God, he says, "Hey, do you guys hear that? Hey, you get there it is. We got the alarm. Otis is worshiping. He's calling out for us. Come on, get to it." Amen. And he's ready. Because God will not interfere in something he's not welcome in. He won't. He'll do things on the peripheral end of things and try to help influence you. But if you don't ask him to help, he's waiting for you to give him a way in. It said, when they sang, when they began to sing, now God set ambushments. Amen. Praise is a weapon. Your enemy knows that. He doesn't want you to get the revelation. He'd rather you talk about the woes and the things that's not happening right.
Okay.
What's the next one?
I just wanted to interject that all of these scriptures are illuminating actual occurrences in Bible history, in history. These things actually happen. They purposely set up people in these armies. They pulled them out of the army and they wanted them to continue their training, continue their skill, develop their skill, broaden their skill in praise and worship, because it was used as a tool for battle. Now, how that applies to us today, the praise and worship team is a type and shadow of the army. You as the congregation and we as the congregation, when we are sitting out there with you, we are a type and shadow of the people of that city. We are an example of that. And so it's important for everyone to understand that when someone on the praise and worship team, whether it be one of the singers or me, or if Otis is leading a particular song, when we're saying lift your hands, we're not trying to tell you what to do because we're control freaks. We're telling you because we're hearing instructions from the captain of the army. Mm-hmm. The Lord of hosts.
That's right.
So this is not about us, you know, wanting to just see everybody lift their hands or, Bethel calisthenics. That's not what this is. This is about us. We're hearing instructions from the king. And when we obey those instructions wholeheartedly, things happen. Things happen. So if you hear Otis say, "Lift your voice unto God," don't give him a mealy mouth praise. Lift your voice unto God, because we heard an instruction from the king. And when we obey this instruction, he opens up the veil even more and things begin to happen. Things begin to churn. Now, of course, you have a choice. You can decide to not participate. But what are you missing when you don't? What are you missing when you don't give that hallelujah? What are you causing someone else to miss when you don't lift your hands? We have a responsibility. We are a type and shadow in the earth of what God wants to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. What an awesome responsibility that we have. And he loves us and he trusts us that he allows us to keep moving and keep developing. He don't get mad at us when we don't do it right. Glory to God. Because my goodness, if he did, I don't think any of us would even be able to walk through the door. But he loves us in spite of ourselves.
Yes. Hallelujah.
So let's lend over and let's do what he desires for us to do.
Now check this out. Also, there's times that we'll do something. This is about faith, amen? This is about your faith. And so sometimes you don't see the promise or you don't see the thing manifest that you're saying it's happened. So this song, like, take this song here. This is a warring type of song. So we're saying, it also suggests something too, though. You might not see the deliverance. You might not have seen the victory. But you might just start saying, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph.
We lift your name up. We lift your name. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name.
Now here's the part I take faith.
The enemy's been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud.
Okay, now check this out. That's the part that might take faith. Because you might be saying in your head, my goodness, he don't look like he's defeated him home. The enemy doesn't look like he's defeated in my home. The things he's been doing to me and you're saying he's defeated? Yes. Truth is he's defeated. He's showing you a hand that makes you think he isn't. Okay? Now, Chris, I want you to give me a high-end pitch. Just sustain it because I'm going to build some tension here. I want you to sense this. I'm going to try to build some tension and then give you a release. Okay? So that, you just hold it. F. Yeah, but hold that C. Yeah, hold that C. Defeated.
Couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory.
See,
we're
so, all right, cool. So what I'm saying is that tension was building up. Down. Sounds like a fight going on. Down. And you're going through. Down. There we come. Boom. Oh, yeah. There's a release. That's to encourage you. There is a release. There is relief coming to you.
Glory to God.
We just got done fighting. And just like Daniel, having prayed and had to wait 21 days, but there's a release coming. I know you're in the middle of the battle, but guess what? The enemy's been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. All right, so just real quick, the enemy's been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. I am speaking to your future. The devil speaks to your past. Devil says you're a fool. Remember what you did. I'm telling you, he couldn't hold you down. You might think you're down now, but guess what? He couldn't hold you down. God always tells you about your future. Amen. And he's trying to build your faith. Your future is bright. Trust me, trust me, trust me. And as we start to align with that and sing that and praise him, he says, now you're getting it. Let me come in and deal with you. Let me sit and inhabit that praise, because if you open it up and that channel's right, I can come in and start to perfect my will in your life. Amen. That's what we want to have happen. Amen? I know we're starting to run out of time. We're done? All right. If you want this PowerPoint, there are still a couple things. Can you go to the next slide? There's a couple things we didn't get to hit on. But we talk about these different things, clapping, the clapping of hands, bowing, uplifted hands. We deal with bowing. There's all these things that we do in the church, but there's scriptures that go along with it. We don't do anything in this service that is not in the scripture. We don't make up stuff. We don't handle anything God didn't tell us to handle. I'm saying this so you will have faith in your church. When we were preparing this message, Ivy asked me, she said last night, she said, what are we wanting to say? And I said, one, I want people to understand what they've been seeing when we've been in worship. What is it that you're seeing? Why are we doing the things we do? And there is a structure behind it. There is a plan behind it. But not only that, I wanted you to have a good defense when somebody from another church says, you know, you shouldn't have music in your house. Or when somebody says, you don't shouldn't be lifting your hands anymore. That's silly. The Bible clearly tells us to lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubt. Amen? So I just wanted you to be armed. I want you to understand what you're going to see coming up. Next week, we've got an awesome time in God. We've got three services. We're just going to be going crazy and letting God have his way. We want his glory to show up and do what only he can do in this place. Amen? Hallelujah. If you're in this place and you never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you really know he's been tugging at your heart, I want you to just lift your hands. You can have an opportunity right now. How he loves you. Anybody? Just lift your hands. Can we dim the lights a little bit? All right. Oh, yeah. You know, as you go forth this week, remember that death couldn't hold you down. Oh, yeah. He's a victorious God, and you're his people. You're his children. Amen. We're his children.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.